You're listening to Let's Talk Business with me, Susan Smith, the brand new podcast which discusses all aspects of business with entrepreneurs from all over the world. And today we're very, very fortunate to have in the studio with us here in Ross FM 94.6, as this will also be broadcast on air, we have the lovely Marie Nugent, who is an entrepreneur, businesswoman and the founder of Inner Inspiration. Marie, you're very welcome to the studio today.
Thank you so much. Susan, it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And you know, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here, Marie. And I can tell you now, and our listeners, we've had such a wonderful chat that you're definitely in for a treat today. We've such interesting stuff to discuss here. Marie, can you talk to us a little bit about your background and how you started out in life and,
sure.
and your career?
I trained as a nurse and as a midwife. Which I really, really enjoyed. And then I went on and I specialised in neonatal intensive care. So that was hugely, hugely empowering. And I loved doing what it is that I did. And then got an opportunity to travel with my family. And we went overseas. So lived in Israel and Syria, Australia and America. So that gave me a huge breadth of knowledge and expertise and a love of communicating with people from all different backgrounds. And the biggest thing I learned was that you don't have to be Irish to share the same sense of humour, that other nationalities can actually understand you.
It's so true.
Yeah, it is. And it was really, really, it was a great experience to go through. Challenging initially, because when I went overseas first, I have three children, so they were 2, 3, and 7.
Oh, wow. That's
so, yeah, it was traveling with a young family. But, you know, I wouldn't have swapped it for the world. It was absolutely phenomenal. So we came back from there, and I think if anybody has traveled, they'll always get a sense of maybe that they're not quite sure when they come back, that they feel a bit rootless, as in they're not quite sure where they stand or how they feel about things. So I volunteered with a group called Home Start. So it was visiting mums in their own homes. And it was because in this day and age, community is sort of gone. And a lot of the people that are, or women in particular, that are working in estates or that are living in estates don't have neighbours because they're all gone off to work. So that was the part of that. I did that. And then I wanted to, because I did continue, I wanted to go and explore and expand. So I started going in, looking into complementary therapies. So I did reflexology and Indian head massage and then doing energy work. Love energy work. I wanted something that I wanted to explore. So I did Reiki and integrated energy therapy and mystery school. And all of those were fantastic and they gave me a little bit extra in my life. But there was still something that I felt that there was something more that I needed to connect with. So I had heard about neuro-linguistic programming, which is called NLP. And it's all about our thoughts and our patterns of behavior. And I did that over 2 years. And the transformation that took place within me that went from an unhappy, disconnected person to somebody that had discovered a connection within myself to something that was greater, that gave me a joy of life. And I could actually feel, because it was so different to the way that I normally thought, I would have been quite left-brained. So this was really right-brained. I could actually feel the neural pathways physically firing in my brain. It was like the right side of my head was on fire.
Yeah.
I was like, woohoo! And I thought, what is going on? I could actually put my hand up to my head. I said, what's happening? And then it was because I wasn't used to visualizing. And
right.
The power it was just phenomenal. And over the 2 years that I did that, I thought that where I've come from, I said, we need to be passing this on to children.
Okay. And can I just ask you, Sure. Sarah, before we go on as well, Marie, what pushed you into getting involved in NLP? Where were you at before you got involved? Was it the fact that you were in a dark place and you just decided to do something for yourself? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Of course. I would have felt that there was part of me that was missing. So there was almost like a disconnect. And I knew that if I went looking for it, that I'd find it. But I didn't realize that when I actually went looking for it and found it, that it was within me, but I hadn't recognized it. I hadn't seen it. It was like all the layers of programming, of belief systems, that I had, you know, that I had to do certain things, that I had to behave in a certain way. So I went from somebody that was really, really unhappy in my life. And, you know, from the outside, it would have looked as if, you know, that I had it all. And people were really surprised, you know, because when I got empowered, things change in your life. You don't do things the same way as you've done before, because you're coming from a place where this feels right. You learn to trust your gut. You learn to trust your feelings. You learn to what it is that you can do for yourself. So when you change, there's a knock-on effect to those that are around you. So subsequently from that, I would have separated. And we would have been together 25 years. So when that happened, it was something that needed to happen. And I knew that I was going to be fine regardless, but it doesn't stop you grieving.
Of course.
You know, this was a big relationship, but it was also about, you know, standing on your own feet, earning your own money, seeing yourself as a person that was separate from your partner.
Yeah.
And how easily we can get lost when we're in relationships where you just don't see yourself anymore. I wrote a blog post recently, it's on my website, and it's called Living Invisible Lives.
Okay.
And that's what it felt like, that you're so, people don't see you. You don't see, it's because you don't see yourself.
True, very true. It's a long time to spend with somebody. And it's I mean, there's a saying as well that you would even miss a toothache if you had it for 25 years.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you mentioned the grieving process there, because it's a fear. A lot of people stay in relationships because of the fear of the grief.
Yes.
Even if they're not entirely happy.
And the thing about it is that we don't realise that we have within us the ability to deal with it. And that when we actually do, in going there and acknowledging that, that it's hugely empowering and hugely releasing, you know, for you as a person, because you have, it's almost like you've thrown off that cloak of invisibility and you're just like,
here
yes,
I am.
Here I am.
Yeah.
And there is such joy in life that you can discover when you're not constantly compromising yourself and your belief system and been a buffer, you know, within a family and, you know, all of these things that you do to for a quiet life. And the other thing I'd say is, you know, we have this perception that people should stay together for the sake of the children. I was talking to my daughter recently and I totally underestimated the fact of what she and what the children see and hear in a family. That, you know, that you think you're keeping it down or keeping it low or keeping it until nighttime. No, you don't. The children are they are super aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
So if the atmosphere is not good in a house, staying in that atmosphere does nobody any good.
Yeah.
Not the people involved and certainly not the children.
And it can actually be unhealthy. Children pick up on vibes as well.
Yes,
people think we're not arguing, so everything's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not all about what's being said and not, it's the vibe
in
the household. And a lot of people say it's better to live with one happy parent than two miserable parents.
Yeah.
But it's also very brave move to actually walk away from it.
You know, people sort of say that, but when it feels right, it doesn't feel brave.
I suppose.
You know, people would say that to me, and I don't feel brave. You know, excuse me. It just feels that it was something that was necessary. That it was necessary for me to grow as a person. And I never saw myself as a victim. I never saw myself as, oh, he decided to leave me, because I was well aware that within the relationship, you know, we had a conversation and I said, you need to do what makes you happy, because I'm in a space where regardless of what happens, I'm going to be okay and I'll expand and grow as a person. And if you can find that for yourself, and if it's with me, great. And if it's on your own or with somebody else, you know, that's your choice.
That's actually so refreshing to hear. That is the healthiest approach I have ever heard to anybody moving on. And it's very, very unselfish of you to say you need to do what makes you happy.
But it wasn't, really, because I knew, because the time that I had most to grow was when he would have been working abroad. So I had the space and the time to find, you know, to explore all the options that were open to me and to get a real sense of who I was. And when you do that, you have to give, it's a gift you have to give to somebody else. You know, they have to find out. You can't stay in a relationship. You can't hold people back. You can't tie them to you if they're, if that's not what it, I wasn't into playing games. You know, if you're here and you want, you know, that we're going to have an adult relationship and we're going to be here by choice, that is perfect. But if you need to move on, that's also perfect too. And we need to let people go.
That's a wonderful message. And that is, I would say, one of the most important messages in any relationship.
Yes.
Is that you need to be there by choice.
Yes.
And you need to have the freedom to walk away.
Yes.
I know myself, and this is it's not about me, but I have said to my partner in the past, listen, if you ever feel that you'll be happier somewhere else,
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
Because ultimately your happiness is also important to me.
Absolutely.
And I have said that, but I do feel that's hugely important, Marie, and it's, yeah, it's a very healthy approach. Was that the trigger for you to even do more work on yourself?
Yes.
Did you feel
Do you know what? It's a door. It's like a door you open, and you know, when you have, and I was saying to you earlier, like the first course that I did was called Who Am I? And it was very like, because I had been, you know, I had been the nurturer, the carer, I was the eldest in the family, you know, the usual role playing that you do. So the first course that I did was Who Am I? But when you get a sense of, there is such a sense of excitement every time you find a little piece more that resonates with you, and you will never meet anybody that will give you all the answers. You have to find them for yourself. And that's hugely empowering. And it's hugely empowering for you. And you never take what somebody says as a given, because it has to resonate with you. And it isn't one size fits all. And it's not one answer for everybody. You have to find that the piece that, you know, from whatever it is that you do. So for me, yeah, I went out there and, you know, all the courses that I did, all the books that I read. And then I got to the stage where I was like, do you know what? You're not teaching me anything that I don't already know. You get a real sense of self, of seeing the bigger picture. And I think it's something that I suppose that I've learned over that I do see the bigger picture. I can see the bigger, I see the magnificence in other people. And I see, particularly in women. And, you know, why do I work with women? I work with women because, number one, I'm a woman. And I do believe that in all the experiences that you go through, that when you talk from experience, women can relate to you because they've been there. You know, culturally and from a religious point of view, we have been, you know, we've been told what to do for generations. So it's so great. It's a fabulous time to be alive and to be a woman. You know, that you have this power that's within you, that you're only really getting a sense of it. And that's part of what it is that we're doing. That, you know, but to be in balance, you know, that we don't take, because, okay, we've had a patriarchal for nearly 2,000 years, but we don't need to go the other way. It doesn't have to be totally feminine for the next 2,000 years. We need men and women in balance, because each brings to the table something that's really, really powerful, and something that that's inherent within them, because they look at life differently. And when you put the two together, it's like you see a bigger picture. And you see a balanced picture.
Absolutely. And it's actually, again, it's refreshing that you mentioned that too, about the balance, because everybody's adjusting in the information era now. We're all learning. We're all learning about who we are. And there are people who completely go the other way.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
You know, and we did have the 2000 years of the patriarchal society. But then you've got women now who are gone. It's staunch. Feminism.
And it's totally disrespectful. But, you know, you can sort of understand, because if you can use the wounds of the past to you can use that going forward and say, well, because we can now do.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, everything happened. I do believe everything happens for a reason. And I think it allowed us time to become more evolved, to get more a sense of ourselves, and to come from there rather than we're dominant over you.
Yeah.
Nothing, yeah. You know, any person that uses their power at the expense of another person is doing themselves a big disservice, because that power is never going to feed them, because it's never going to be enough. You know, it has to be in balance, and it has to come from yourself and the feminine part. You know, for me, it was discovering the feminine part of me, but in balance. So it is. And that, I suppose, because I hadn't really been aware of it before, that was huge. That was really, that's where the joy of life comes from. You know, the empathy, the collaboration, the enriching, the uplifting, all of that. It comes from that feminine part of me.
Marie, so you do an awful lot of work with women now. Yes. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, I suppose a lot. I mean, I've touched on a lot of what it is that I've that I've been doing. I discovered that I was president of a networking group last year, so I was Network Dublin president. And, you know, it just so goes to show you the evolution of what it is that you can do. I started off the January event, like writing everything down. And then by the end of the year, when I was giving my end of year speech, I had three words written on a sheet of paper. And it was like, yes. So it was like I'd learned to trust myself. And that is what it is that I want to teach women to do. I want them to see themselves, the beauty that's within them. I want them to be able to tap into their souls. I want them to take away the layers of what they think they can't do and discover what it is that they can actually do. And, you know, to forgive yourself. We're terrible for beating ourselves up, and we're not good enough, and we should have done this. You know, to take away all of that, to recognize you for who it is you are and what it is you contribute. We are all here for a reason, and what it is we contribute to do is for the greater good. And I really, really believe that when you actually, at your core, are really, really happy with who you are, what it is you contribute to the world changes, not only your own yourself, but your family around you, your business that you're working in, and your community. And that can only be a good thing, because I want people to throw off the constraints of programming and challenge them maybe a little bit. It's like, well, why do you actually believe that you're not good enough? What is it that's within you? What proof do you have? And just take away all of that and say, no, I can show you proof of how magnificent you are and how beautiful you are and what an empowered spirit you are. But you just need to believe it. And in doing all the work that I did as well, I have developed a fascination in neuroplasticity. It's the brain's ability to wire itself, that a thought that you think that you can actually create a neural pathway in your brain. So if you've been telling yourself that you're not good enough, that if you actually change the message that you tell yourself that you are good enough, not only do you empower yourself, but you actually create yourself.
That's incredible stuff there altogether. So you're creating neural pathways in the brain by simply changing your thought.
Yes. Everybody has that capacity to do that. Everybody's brain is wired. And part of, you know, our belief system is what it is that we were told, and we learned to believe it. But you can actually change that. And you can actually tell yourself. And it's they've done studies in Harvard. And it's about, you know, say that take Olympians that have won gold medals, and they can sit them down and they'll put electrodes on the brain. And they'll get them to visualize it. The same chemical reaction in visualizing it will happen in their body as if they were actually running the race. So it's like, it's all about what it is you can visage for yourself. Like for me, I can see myself on stage. I can see myself talking about what women can actually do for themselves. I can see, and I get a real, and I think that gives you a real sense of, the potential that's out there. But we have to be careful, because we like putting the known on the unknown.
Yeah. You
know, because that's like, oh my Lord, oh my God, maybe I won't do that. You know, I can put together a scenario that I'm comfortable with, as opposed to, I don't know how it is that I'm going to get from here to this stage. But, you know, you hold on to the vision of what it is. So, you know, everybody has this within them, that you can have a happy, content, empowering life with a partner that you love spending time with, that there's a mutual appreciation, that your children can get to the stage where that they are in charge of their own lives and really, really happy with who they are and what it is they do. We are more powerful than we think we are. And I think that's the biggest thing that I want to, that we have that power, but we don't see it.
Do you think it will be important, Marie, to get this? Obviously, and I'll touch on this next, that you do a lot of work with children's meditations and NLP for children. Do you think it needs to start, the reprogramming or the new fresh programming needs to start at a young age?
Yes, I do. I would. I was lucky enough to, after I did the NLP, I was working with a girl who asked me, you talk about, you know, how circumstances and synchronicity. She said that her daughter was all over the place, in her words. She was 8 at the time. She said, I can't get her to sit. I can't get her to relax. I can't get her to concentrate. And she said, will you do? Because she knew I'd done something on meditation. And I said, I'd love to. So I did a story for her, specifically for her, and which I used about, taught her about breathing and relaxing. And I thought, they loved it, and they really, really, you know, they could sit and her mum could sit and listen with her. And I thought, oh my kid, okay, I need to be doing something for children. So I wrote scripts first, and I picked 7 stories, and each one concentrates on something a little bit different. So they're told like fairy stories, and each one is like how you stand up for yourself, how to view bullies, what it is that you can, the power of gratitude, all the things that we. That took me a lifetime to learn. I said, if we teach children, and children get it because they have a vivid imagination, and this is what it is, what they can do for themselves. It's teaching them about emotional resilience, because part of what's happening with the youth is that they feel that they have no power over their lives, and that they, you know, everything is external. And this teaches them, working from the inside out, this is like how, what it is that I can do for myself. And when they are at that place, and it's not every child that needs it, but some children just need it a little bit more than others. And to have this, and there's more, you know, there's more than just the CD that I did, you know, I called it You Have the Power. But, you know, like Calm Kids or Relax Kids, there's so much, there's so many tools out there that as parents that you can actually, you know, put it on when your baby is going to sleep at night. Can you imagine, like, we tell stories, but let them listen to this, even if they don't understand it, you know, they'll absorb the messages of empowerment that, you know, that they, and they can grow with this in place. So it'll allow them to know, because they are going to meet challenges in life, and they are going to be challenged, and they're not going to, relationships are going to break up, families are going to break up, they're not going to get exam results they want, they're not going to get the courses they want. You know, all of the things that happens in life, people will die that we're not prepared for. But this just allows them, gives them that little bit extra, that their life doesn't end just because somebody doesn't like them. You know, even as adults, you know, we can feel that, as you know, just, you know, that a relationship finishes, that our life has ended. No, it isn't. In some ways, it's only just beginning.
That's incredible. A very, very powerful message for kids. And considering that most adults are still carrying around their parent tapes, even well into adulthood, imagine the generation of people we will have in the country if they're if they're listening to positive affirmations from a young age.
Yeah. And the youth, our youth need to be prepared, because they're the ones that are going to, they're going to have the particular challenges and signs, you know, when it comes to stuff that we haven't come up against, like cloning and, you know, manipulation, and they need to be working from an ethical and a moral and an instinct, you know, something that they instinctively know that's right, not because they're told it, but because they're actually connected.
Absolutely. And I think just in my opinion, a lot of mental health issues, well, some of them certainly can come from a feeling of being lost or from not getting the right messages, maybe. Can you talk to us a little bit about mental health and your feelings on it, Marie?
Oh, my Lord, this is a big subject, and it is something that I have a little bit of experience myself, as one of my children went through some challenges in that respect. And I learned a huge amount from what it is that I in support. And the more that we, and I suppose that's why, you know, the more that children know what it is that they can do for themselves, the more empowered they can, and how that when you're lost and you can't see the wood for the trees, as a parent, you need to trust instinctively what's right for your, because each child is individual and it isn't one size that fits all. That you need to trust instinctively what it is that your child needs, because they're going to have their own idea of what it is that they need. And also you need to listen to them. You need to let them find their way and allow them to do it. But also maybe because I would have a totally holistic background, and I do believe that we can create our own lives, and I do believe we can change our own lives. So to take it almost like take a step back, put the safeguards in place, do what it is you think is right, allow them to do what it is, you know, from a treatment point of view, what they feel they need, and allow, this is a big subject.
It is actually a huge subject.
And allow them to. For me, the biggest thing of all was actually taking a step back and trusting my child that they would actually find their way out. That was huge, because you want to make your children happy and you want to make your partners happy, and you actually can't do that. They do have to find their own way. But by knowing that you're there, that you're there to catch them. They may not agree with you, you know, because it would have come up in conversation. It's like, you don't get it. And I did get it. But I don't know. Sometimes I find the words difficult to actually say. But yes, for me, it was taking a step back and allowing. I put all the safeguards in place and I gave them permission to find, you know, to do what it is that they wanted to do and to find their way out. And did they do it? And then some. Totally different place. Because they learned themselves, they evolved and they grew, and they found that spark within them again.
That was an approach that absolutely worked then. And again, it's so refreshing to hear about giving another person the freedom to choose as well. Yeah. You know, I know it was a big subject. The reason that I brought that up is that there's so many people in Ireland at the moment struggling with various mental health issues.
Yeah.
And you've a lot of parents and family members. And what's not discussed an awful lot is how it actually affects people around the person who's suffering.
This doesn't happen in isolation. You know, it affects the whole house.
It does.
You know what? It at the time it was relentless. It was every single day.
Yeah.
So when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's like you embrace it, and that's where the encouragement comes in. Yes, you can do it. Keep going. You're fantastic. You're brilliant.
Yeah.
And they do actually learn to listen. And they do actually learn to, well, actually, I am. And, you know, I'm not that bad. And, oh, my God, you know, I know I have an idea what it is that I want to do now. And particularly when they find within them the course that they want to do, or and they work within and it feels right for them, let them do it. Give them permission to go and do that. You will not regret it.
Well, that's
and learning to trust them.
And learning to trust, that's also another big one. Marie, moving on to a different subject, you had a bumper year last year. I mean, the song we discussed before we came on air, I'm so excited, is actually coming into my head now. You were on TV3, you were interviewed by the Irish Times.
Yes.
I mean, everything seemed to just turn around for you last year. And can you talk to us a little bit about the roller coaster of happiness that year was?
Sure. Do you know what? I think because I had come through probably eight, nine of the toughest years that, you know, between everything that had happened in the family. And I do believe nothing lasts forever. I do believe it was something that I needed to go through, whatever. So how did it start? I decided that I was going to concentrate on doing the audio stories for children. So I applied for an Enterprise Ireland course and I said, yes, I'm going to get it to do that. It was 6 months and I gave notice at work. So that's great. And it was supposed to hear in early September. And then it was going on and on and on. And the day my manager said to me, you know, wish Marie all the best and bon voyage. And that afternoon I got a call to say, I'm sorry, you weren't successful. So it was like, okay, I knew instinctively that, you know, that was actually the push that I needed, that I was actually sitting on the fence and playing it safe. So within a few weeks, my house was sold. I did an ISEX course, which is for empowering women, not just women, but women and men, that they have a wealth of experience and go back old in, you know, in later life.
Yeah.
And encouraging that your life isn't finished just because you've reached a certain age. So and out of that, then I got interviewed in TV3 in Irish Times and was featured in the Woman's Way. But I also, something that happened that was really hugely empowering for me personally was I stepped into the role of Network Ireland Dublin branch president. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I must say it.
It was the most fun that I have had. This was a role that I had never done in my life. We had to organise events every year, every month. We had to organise events. We had to do awards, organise that, a summer, so the awards ceremony and that all that went with that, and then a Christmas. And what I just, well, I had known because I, you know, when I joined networking, it's hugely, hugely powerful. And when I was going through the tough times, that's what kept me going. It was sharing the energy with powerful, successful, wonderful, inspiring women. You can't but be inspired and feel wonderful. But when I stepped into the role as president, there was a joy in doing it because I knew that I was fulfilling a part of me and it reveled in it, you know, even with challenges and all. But, you know, getting speakers, the generosity of the women that said, yeah, sure, I'll come along and I'll talk at your event. And part of it in Dublin is also the social aspect of it. So we use a different venue every month. And, you know, doing research on that. So I went, you know, it was just probably the best year of my life so far, simply because it was something that I had created. It was a role that I had stepped into, that I had made it my own, and that the joy of networking, and I think it came through in every single one of the events, the joy in connecting with powerful entrepreneurial women with a can-do attitude. You know, you can't but be, if you plug into it, you can't but be uplifted.
Absolutely.
And I would highly, you know, if you have a women's networking group in your area, I know here in Roscommon, the wonderful Lucy Carty has taken over. There's a branch that's opened up, Network Ireland Roscommon branch, and Lucy's president. Join the group. It's just what you will get from it will just uplift you because you are associating with women that know exactly what it is you're going through. The connections that you will make will be phenomenally powerful. The suggestions that you will get. I mean, out of network, I'm here because of networking, because I'm also part of a group in Athlone called She's Inspired, with the, you know, led by the wonderful Catherine Macklin. And, you know, I just get such an uplifting of energy when I am with these women, and it allows me to pass it on to others.
It's a wonderful thing. Even the She's Inspired group,
yes,
in Athlone.
Yeah.
I had a networking lunch myself there recently, where I met you.
Yeah.
And I have to say, and I would be into positivity and events and stuff like that, as it is, as an entrepreneur myself.
Yeah.
But I walked away from that lunch that day and I felt seriously inspired.
Yes.
I can't even describe it.
Yeah.
And just in relation to what you were saying there, if there is a networking group in your area, join it. Absolutely. Hands down do. Because it's to people who identify with you. Yeah. But as you said, the suggestions and the positivity and the vibe, and you can't help but walk away you feeling can't. Inspired.
No, it isn't. And, when you have a group of people together that share a same vision, and it's what it is, it's for the betterment, not only of themselves, but of their families and their businesses, you can't but be uplifted. And it takes you out of the mire of the everyday stuff that you have to go through as a business person. And it gives you the fuel to go forward.
Absolutely does. Because even in business, as you know yourself, Marie, there are times when it can seem like a bit of a lonely place.
Oh, it is.
Where you're speaking to, maybe you have a lot of friends and they work for a company but when you're running your own business, who do you speak to?
Yeah.
You know, who do you talk to? And events like this, I feel, help hugely for women and men in business.
Absolutely. And you know, particularly if you're also a mother. I mean, I think that you get something extra if you're a mother, because you've got that added pressure of running course. A family and having partners and looking after your children and everything that goes with that. So I think particularly at that, it's definitely, and it's self-nurturing, because it's something that you can actually, that is just for you first.
Absolutely.
And anything that you do for you first that nurtures you will have a knock-on effect. It will actually bring in all the positivity into, from a business point of view, from a relationship point of view. You just get onwards and upwards.
So Marie, we've just gone a little bit over time, but that's no harm, because I could talk to you here for the next 4 hours gladly.
Easily.
Can you tell me what's coming up for you? I know that you're doing MC at a fabulous event coming up.
I am going to MC the awards ceremony.
Excellent.
That's a new role for me.
Wow.
But I do believe that I'm well prepared after running doing the network branch last year. And I do know the joy of, you know, when the awards and the winners are announced, and there's just going to be such a magical evening.
That is fabulous. And how do you feel about public speaking? Obviously, you had to public speak when you were doing the
Do you know what? It's about comfort zones. When I got up and spoke at my first one, it was the first time that I had actually got up and spoke in front of an audience last year. Because some things are a bit easier than other. And I discovered that I actually quite like it. And I think because it's with women, and I do feel that I don't judge anybody, and nobody's judging me.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if I get out of my own way, I'm actually just going to be fine. And the more relaxed I am, that the more I enjoy it, and the more I enjoy it, the more it shows. So I'm really, I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I'm also putting together my own inner inspiration empowerment program, and working from the inside out.
Excellent.
Where I'm going to be working with what I want to do initially is like an 8-week course. So it's like basically it's kickstarting. So we go through all the layers of what it is, and it's bespoke. So it's one to one, and it's very specific for the people that I'm working with. And I'm opening up 3 vacancies to do that over the next while. And then later on, over the summer, then I'm going to open up a longer program, because I myself did a 6-month program where I worked with a mentor, and I saw the difference that made to my life. It was probably next to the NLP, it was probably the next most empowering thing, because she had a vision for me that was bigger than my own, and as a result I stepped into it. So I have a vision for the people that I work with that's bigger than what they have, and as a result that's the role that they will step into. So, it's not for everybody. People need to feel it. They need to feel the vibe. We need to have a conversation, because I don't work with everybody. You know, if somebody's not in a, you know, somebody needs to feel it and know it and want it. And if they're in that position, then I'm more than happy to work with them. Once we connect, you know, it's the power of connection.
That's
incredible. You and I can speak, and we have a big connection.
God, yeah.
So you have to have that connection.
That's
first
absolutely
to start
incredible.
With.
I think I'll probably be signing up. I think that's absolutely incredible. And can you just give out your information here for people who want to get in touch with you at your website, or where they can read your book, where they can get the CDs?
Sure. The CD is called You Have the Power, and it's available via Amazon and iTunes. But if you go onto my webpage, it's innerinspiration.ie, and you may need to put in Marie Nugent Smith, because that's that will get it up quicker.
Marie Nugent Smith. Yeah. Is it SMI or SMY?
SMY.
Okay.
And yeah. And then there's links to Amazon and iTunes on that site.
Okay.
But there's also a Book Me. So that if you want to have a conversation with me, it brings in my diary, and you know, so that you can actually book a slot so that we can actually speak one to one. I have a Facebook page, and it's called Time to Sparkle and Shine.
Excellent. Marie, I don't think I've seen I haven't been on the Facebook page.
Have you not?
Time to Sparkle and Shine.
Time to Sparkle and Shine. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it wasn't gone.
People don't realize it is time.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And it's very much. Yeah, it is. It is our time. And it's to do with. Yeah. The power of particularly women of being themselves. And when you empower yourself, you allow your man to empower himself. And the best of all, you allow your children to empower themselves. And because you become like a beacon. And. Yeah, it's just really powerful.
Marie.
Words fail me. No, they don't.
Wow, I have to say that for me, that's been one of the most inspirational interviews and chats that I've had.
Oh, thank you.
I think since I started in radio, you're massively inspiring, and you've gone from who am I to here I am,
yeah.
You know, and you're a powerhouse of a woman, and it's just been so refreshing listening to you. But Marie, I'd love to speak to you again in the future.
I would be honored.
Absolutely. If we could chat on air again,
yep.
And talk about what's going on for you. But thank you.
Can I get
so
on stage
much
next year and radio? Because that's also what I want to do. I want to do radio and TV.
Oh, well, we're definitely, once we go off air here, we're definitely going to have a serious chat about that. So for now, this has been Let's Talk Business with Susan Smith and Marie Nugent. And thank you guys for listening.